Hello, everybody, and welcome to this wonderful interview that we have today. We are doing some really neat things here at Ocean Curious, and the first thing that we've got here is an interview with Christina Licati. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you for having me. Welcome to everybody else watching us as well.
Yeah, and of course, my trusty companion, Nico, is here. Hello, and say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Great to have you on, Christina.
Yeah. So we're doing something a little bit different this year with live streams and then also a separate thing where we are interviewing people in the OSINT community to get their stories out and to understand who they are and what they do. We're starting out with Christina here because, well, she's somebody that's a little special to us. She just accepted our offer of becoming an OSINT Curious advisory board member, and we are thrilled to have you on the project, Christina.
Absolutely. And I am very honored to be on the project.
Oh, well, thanks. So people may not know who you are. So I know, and so I have a bio here, but I'd much rather just talk to you about who you are, maybe your background, how, you know, what your education is, what you've been working on, and then, you know, with an OSINT perspective on that as well. Can you just tell us about yourself?
Yes, of course. So practically I started from the side of social engineering and learning about social engineering attacks, how to actually attack, how to defend against them. And pretty sure it became very clear that open source intelligence was a big part of a successful project, either on the offensive or the defensive side. Because the open source intelligence part is the part where you identify vulnerabilities on targets that are either exploited or are going to be exploited. Generally, the lifeblood of every attack is information, and it is good quality information. At the same time, I have a background and I have a degree in psychology. And this tendency, since I can remember myself, to combine psychology and what I know from it to the investigative objectives that I have and to profiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gave a talk at the OSINT Summit last year. That's where I first met you. And your talk was really neat because I loved the psychology that you brought into the OSINT arena because people aren't just OSINT. If you understand the backgrounds, the motivations of people, how people interact, you can find more data and you can figure out where people might be. Do you find that the case also?
Yeah, and we use this knowledge in our projects right now. When you have to identify vulnerabilities on a high-value target that you know will be exploited by threat actors, we have to make them aware of those and we have to prepare them of those. So profiling plays a big role in that.
So can I ask you a question? You're mm-hmm. talking about profiling. So let's say you were to profile me as an account. From an OSINT perspective and with your psychology background, how would you start doing that using open sources? What would you look for instance?
Your profiles are open, so we'll take it as a fact right now that the profiles are public. Otherwise, of course, you have to find a way to get into the profile. You start by practically collecting hard evidence, hard pieces of information, what is there, what cannot be refuted, data. And then you go into the next step, which has to do with the analysis and drawing inferences and interpretations out of this data. And you would be surprised, but there is actually a lot of psychological research done on how to interpret data, how the way we act, even the colors we choose on the pictures reflect our emotional state, where we are at. And then there are also the words that we use in posts that that help someone identify vulnerabilities, wants, needs, how they view themselves, how they want to be viewed by others. For example, you have a person talking with a lot of authority all the time, although he is a regular person like all of us. You can infer from that that they want to be viewed with authority and treated this way.
So let me ask you about that because looking, you know, a lot of the times what we look at in the world of OSINT is the images that people share, the videos that they're sharing, but talking about the text that they're sharing and what they're typing, how they're typing it, what they're saying in the message, that's a really interesting topic. I know that you have a background in psychology. Do you use automated tools to do these interpretations and inferences, or is it's all based upon your knowledge, experience, and training?
Automation is the best kiss of death for these types of analysis.
Because a kiss of death, I like it.
You don't get the chance to get a feeling of who the person is. And in generally, combing through the words is time consuming, but a lot of what we do is time consuming anyways, and combing through data, but it helps you get a better feeling. I think there is a lot of science that we haven't tapped on and that we could use in OSINT. However, there definitely needs to be background knowledge. You cannot just read the book and say, I have all the knowledge necessary to take a profile and make accurate interpretations.
Yeah, because that's what I immediately triggered me. You said the feeling, but when I teach class, for instance, I also talk about bias and prejudice and all that stuff. So that's something that immediately popped in my mind when you talked about feeling for looking at someone's profile, in essence. How do you cope with that?
So it's not just an instinct, and it's just not just a feeling. It's a feeling that is always combined with knowledge and with previous education. And the biases are definitely a very big part of it. We have to be aware of them. But even when you are aware of them, you often also fall prey to your own biases. However, what I have found useful is cross-checking with somebody that is out of the project so that they can give a different perspective, and also questioning yourself very often. Mm-hmm. There is this thin balance there between analysis paralysis and actually questioning your own findings.
Go ahead.
There is usually this cycle of finding hard evidence when you make these types of detections, finding hard evidence to start making a hypothesis, and then using this hypothesis to generate more hard evidence that will eventually again support the original hypothesis. However, you need to question yourself a lot. Yeah.
And do you use then techniques like the analysis of competing hypothesis or are other techniques that are known within the intelligence community, or is it different?
No, I use these resources and I go through them.
Okay, interesting. So I remember vividly that you did that talk mm-hmm. during the OSINT Summit where you picked out, I think it was a handsome guy with a six pack, if I remember right. So I don't know why I remembered it, but I remembered it.
I don't remember that, Nico.
It's a pretty colorful profile.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I remember vividly that you, based upon what he posted, basically told the audience, hey, it's this type of guy. And when you look at the rest of his pictures, now you can see why I'm telling you why he is a guy like that. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about that process? Because that's something that I think a lot of people who do open source intelligence are not that familiar with, and can be really interesting to give them a different angle on how to look at person's accounts.
Yeah, so practically what I did during the talk and what I also do in projects and right now, and also when I have to do this type of profiling, is not just to collect the data and just have them lying around and then trying to find connections. There is usually a profiling matrix, which is kind of like a table format where I can categorize this information. And this profiling matrix practically has four columns, three rows, and the three rows represent three of the main aspects in our lives: our self-image, the way we view ourselves, our social circle, which is another important pillar in our lives, and third, our professional life.
Interesting. And then based upon what we say, you score those things.
I take the information that I see through the profiles and I put them in one of these three sections. For example, if I see the guy with the abs, a guy self-promoting very much, I am going to put in his self-image that he wants to be viewed as somebody that's admired, for example. Oh, and I didn't talk about the four columns that have to do with the person's interests, personality traits, vulnerabilities, and interests.
Interesting.
And then I will categorize accordingly.
So one of the things that I think is interesting here is that a lot of the blog posts that are out there, a lot of the people that are giving talks are talking about how to collect OSINT data. But what we're really talking about is like the next step is the analysis. It's what does it mean when somebody says this instead of, hey, I collected this picture. Do you do things with analysis of images and videos as well to extract content, or is it mostly text-based content?
No, absolutely. Whatever can give me information, I will use. And it also helps me staying updated through OSINT Curious and through all of your members to the techniques that are available out there to extract more information. I will use the geolocation knowledge that I have or that you provide very often to find more things if they relate to a project. If we have to find, for example, usual routes that a high-value target frequents, we will use geolocation to identify them. And other things, image analysis, whatever is necessary to get the project done. And this very often includes the things that we talk about in the OSINT community. It's not just the analysis.
So when you talk about getting the project done, what are, without maybe getting into too much detail, what are regular cases you work on? Because it sounds to me that you are doing in somewhat the same cases that we, Micah and I, for instance, may be working on, but it also sounds like that you're doing some really different stuff that I'm not doing that often, Lee. So can you tell us a little bit more about your, let's say, a typical week of Christina at work?
There is no typical. There is no typical week. And I'm glad there is no typical week. But usually the parts of my work that have to do with OSINT are either relating to the social engineering offensive side, in which case you have to find either one employee's vulnerability and get them bite the bait, or corporate vulnerability assessments that have to do with the physical and social layers of security in their companies, in which again you go a lot into open source intelligence. But the profiling matrix and this personal assessment is mostly used when we have to deal with high value targets or targets that get a lot of exposure, in which case we have to be able to identify vulnerabilities that will be used against them, especially if they are targeted by a very persistent actor. For example, is there a blackmail opportunity? Is there a way for an attacker to find their physical address or the places they frequent and approach them there? Are there recruitment opportunities? Are there vulnerabilities like a sudden very big need for money or some sort of an addiction that will allow a threat actor to approach them and recruit them, etc. However, you need to have approval to get into these projects. You need to have approval from the person you are going to investigate.
Right. So it's always legal that comes into play in these kinds of things.
Always, because it's not passive reconnaissance, and it's not passive OSINT anymore.
So let's talk about that passive versus active. We've seen a lot of tools and techniques that are being released into the OSINT community now that are more active in that they are interacting with the user's profile or password resets or other things. I know that social engineering is kind of not an extension of OSINT, but is a consumer of open source intelligence. You perform your reconnaissance, you understand your targets, you find those opportunities and those vulnerabilities, and then the social engineering part is the exploitation of those weaknesses and the use of that OSINT. Tell me about your use of active reconnaissance, active OSINT techniques, and social engineering, and what your thoughts are on that.
So practically, when you have to engage a target to take an action, like it has happened in very well-known attacks in the past, you need to interact with the target. Or in order to access one of their social media profiles, like we said before, if the profile is in private mode and you definitely need to access it, you will have to send a connection request. This is already a form of engagement with the target. And you have to have permission to do that because it's not public information that you are accessing anymore, but it's kind of like an indirect permission. Yeah, I feel like there is a gray line on what this actually is.
Does it have to do with their expectation of privacy, in essence, because they expect not the world to see them, but now that you are befriending them, their privacy barrier is gone, basically?
I feel like this actually depends on the mentality of the person you are engaging with, because some are very privacy conscious, but these are also the ones that wouldn't accept a random person as a friend request. And there are others that are more like, nah, I have some privacy in place. My profile is not for everyone, but it depends. In a professional environment, you need to have approval.
Yeah, in coming from a cyber background and psychology background, I'm always very conscious of do I have permission from the targets or the subjects to perform this investigation? But I know that a lot of our listeners and viewers, they use open source intelligence differently. They're using it against unaware targets, people that are members of hate groups or militias or other terrorist organizations that are out there. And they're not going to get the permission from the target. So I really do think that, you know, that the world of OSINT is a world of maybes and sometimes is, and it depends. But yeah, I agree that for corporate open source intelligence, when you're looking at creating profiles and stuff, a target understanding the things that you're going to be doing, the things that you're going to be seeing and trying is important. Have you ever had anybody change their behaviors when you're doing an assessment? Like you might go in for a scoping call and you say, you know, we're going to look at your social media, we're going to search for your emails, and you see things change in their profiles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But this usually comes in the form of of just not posting for a little bit or just removing certain elements. However, it's not like they are very thorough with this process. Also, if the client is someone that actually cares about it, if it is a high value target that wants to get this done, then they will not change their behavior at all. They will leave all the data as it is. They might give me even more, for example, from Instagram stories. And yeah. And in this case, they do not change their behavior, but it depends.
And I guess the other extension of the open source intelligence is delivering that report to that target, talking to them about the vulnerabilities. Do you find yourself using some of your psychology and ways of presenting the data is so that the targets accept it a little bit better?
110%, because although we are all curious to see what is out there about us, no one is willing to listen about their own vulnerabilities. And there is a huge layer of defensiveness that you have to go past when you discuss with them. And this is where good communication skills come into place, where this is where empathy comes into place. And empathy is a blessing and a curse. I have a lot of it. And I don't know if I'm happy or sad about it, but it is what it is. However, it helps the other person understand that you are on their side and that you're not blaming them. Right. And that you just, that you have a common goal with this. And it's for a good reason.
So there is some aftercare.
Actually, you would be surprised, but I have even been asked to have a session of pure psychological support or to just allow the client to talk about their frustration about being targeted and help them get through the hard law of being in this position. Yes, it comes with the territory sometimes when you are a highly exposed executive, for example, but it's not something they love to deal with.
Well, and it's also something that's very shocking when we tell people, and you hear this all the time, have you Googled yourself? Have you looked at what's out there about you? You know, people are like, yeah, I Google myself. But there's a definite difference between somebody just Googling themselves and somebody like you that's a professional and going out, creating a dossier, finding connections, taking those pictures and images and videos and then analyzing the content of what they're saying, how they're saying it. I mean, it is extremely revealing. And being able to deliver that report as an objective observer and getting your customer to read, accept, and change their behavior, that changing the behavior is always the part that's the hardest, because I've had a lot of mm-hmm. high-value targets say, hey, this is great. Nice work, Micah. And you know that report just goes right in the bin or something mm-hmm. like that. Every now and then I see the change of behavior. I'm like, all right, you know, that was a win.
So when mm-hmm. we talk about change of behavior, can I ask how long approximately have you been doing these kind of assessments about companies? And did you see a difference in the past years maybe in general, that people becoming more aware, because you read about breaches and all that stuff the entire day? So maybe.
So I have been doing this for about 2 or 3 years now with the profiling, matrix and the awareness of all these things. The only change that I can say I have seen are with the people that actually went through this process. And again, it depends on the level of shock they got, as well as how open-minded they were to it. Of course, sometimes you have these extremely narcissistic personalities that need a completely different approach, because again, you try to work for their own good and you try to be an effective professional with them. On a large scale, I have seen very little change, although I have given a lot of talks on this topic by now, because some people will realize it and get it, but there is still a very long way to go. A very, very long way to go to get general awareness of what the information we put out there for ourselves means. And again, another very common misconception is that that this is advocating not posting anything on social media and just not being interactive and just adopting a very radical approach and just disappearing from the internet. No, it doesn't. I'm not trying to communicate that. I'm trying to communicate a more careful approach towards what you post and how you interact with strangers online.
Well, that is an option though, right? I mean, the kind of more nuclear option is to, I'll just get off of social media, which in today's day and age, a lot of VIPs have those media teams that manage that so that the person won't ever get engaged in an argument online or say something that will devalue stock or cause harm
or
to the
harassment.
Business. Exactly. So there are teams that will handle that, and I think that's absolutely a viable alternative. But in general, you're still going to have people that are, you know, doing things in their personal social media, whether it's in Facebook or VK or somewhere else, and figuring out how to help them refine their personality to change what they post, how they post, what they share and what they don't. That is really, really challenging, because it's not a matter of just saying don't do this. It's think about what you're doing. It's incredibly mm-hmm. complicated.
And it's not just about the individual that will actually see this information and come in contact with this knowledge. It's not just about the target per se, but don't forget, and I know you have discussed this in previous webinars or I think we also discussed it together. It also has to do with the team, the immediate environment and the obsec that family, friends, yep. and generally their inner circle is using.
Yeah, because one of the weakest links could be a family member or friend, coworker that is sharing too much about the target. Absolutely.
And that's oversharers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's where that comprehensive analysis of not just the target's behavior, but the information about the target is so, so useful in the profiles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to you. And what are some of the things that you're doing in OSINT? You mentioned doing doing the
corporate assessment.
Corporate So what are some of the other things that you're using OSINT for in your work?
I think these are my main three things, okay, as social engineering, because this is also my day-to-day job. Social engineering, corporate vulnerability assessments and high-value target vulnerability assessments, and identifying through this information attack verticals that we have seen before or that we believe we will see in the future.
Okay.
And these are the three main pillars.
So what's something that, and so of all the things that you do within the world of open source intelligence, and we'll go ahead and go into social engineering and some of the other things, what's something that is really interesting to you? Like what, when you get to do this task, you're like, yeah, I'm doing this today. Is there anything that you're doing?
I think every time you get stuck at something or that you don't find a piece of information, but suddenly you start researching different ways to reach that piece of information that you know must be out there, but cannot find. Finding it in the end is extremely rewarding, but it takes so much experimentation and so much research on how to research.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what's your when we talk about, because a lot of people will love to talk about tools and techniques, what are your number one stops when you say, hey, I got to do an assessment about a person? What are things that are in your standard operating procedure saying, hey, I will always first do this and then this, for instance?
Doesn't this have to do with the country your target is based on?
So, yeah, for instance, if you are interested in someone in the United States, you needed to profile them. What would you do?
Practically, maybe a guy who likes to reach
webs or something.
Don't say it, Nika. I knew you were going to go there. Let's talk about profiling Micah. No, this is not about my mental health anymore, Nika. We had a private conversation about that. This is about Christina. Come on.
No. I really mean the tools you use. For instance, a lot of people will immediately go to, let's say, a username search engine.
Exactly.
Because you know that it's successful. Yeah.
So the very standard things are finding the usernames, finding a full name if you don't have it, finding an email if you don't have it. And again, depending on the country your target is located at, there are different databases. Finding the different social media profiles. Okay, we have a couple of websites that I believe everybody's using, the Namecheck, for example. Yeah, and then just trying to find more sources of information from there. It also depends on what the point of this investigation is. If it is a corporate client, I will also go nicely into Google Maps, search for all the images, all the locations, interviews that have happened in the past, because funny enough, I have found a lot of security-related information on interviews. Especially when it comes to financial institutions, because they try to talk about how secure a certain company is, all the while leaking a lot of information that they shouldn't have, or looking into business partners. These are very standard things every time. Again, business partners very often leak out technologies that they provide to a company, and they also leak out names, technologies, timelines. That makes it very easy to use this information for a social engineering attack, because you just know a lot of internal items.
So this is
funny enough, this is when we come across these types of information, there is also a breach of contract involved, because these companies are actually not supposed to talk about specific technologies and publish it. But marketing.
Yeah.
Marketing.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. So a lot of the topics that we've talked about so far, we've just touched on, like, Nico, you brought up the ACH, the analysis of competing hypotheses. We talked about using, removing bias and all. These are sometimes things that people, that don't come natural to people and that you have to practice. I understand that you are teaching a class as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we are teaching a class with Samuel. He's found on Twitter as OSINT Geek, and it is called The Fundamentals of Cyber Investigations and Human Intelligence. We decided to do this class. It's more of a passion project because Samuel identified that there was a big gap in the law enforcement industry here in Germany when it came to utilizing OSINT, but we also wanted to give a different twist to it and to help people use it in a different capacity. So what we do is practically teaching them how to use open source intelligence analysis, how to use open source intelligence and combine it with social media intelligence, and then taking what they have found from these two disciplines to conduct better human investigations. So it's a combination of OSINT, SOCMINT, and human essentially.
So can I ask you a question? My background was in law enforcement, and I was in the human division the last couple of years where I was doing OSINT. But originally, human was face-to-face people walking in a park, sitting in a restaurant, talking to each other. So when you talk about this course and this background, do you mean that classic human, or do you mean using OSINT to perform virtual human?
So practically at this point, human is any information that you can gather from an individual or from a group, either in an in-person format, in a verbal format, or in writing. It is information that you gather from an individual. And I remember, and I know that it used to be, a discipline used in a different capacity and in a different type of service. But today, with intelligence disciplines becoming so important also for the corporate environment, as well as the law enforcement environment, and having expanded digitally so much, it also includes the virtual human part. So you can take what you find in from OSINT and SOCMINT and use it for an in-person engagement or even for interrogations, actually, but we don't go into that part. Yeah. But you can also use it to infiltrate a group on Facebook, for example, that is full of activists, to infiltrate or to approach a specific target that you want to get more information from. There were some sting operations that happened using this approach, combining SOCMINT
information. That would be covert or clandestine human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, because I do agree that there's not a lot of course material about there that tell you about how to engage with people online, staying anonymous or doing it overt in a way that you make absolutely sure that the one who's talking to you is being kept safe or anonymous for talking to you. That's really interesting. Really interesting perspective. I can talk for hours about this subject, but we don't.
Excellent. Now that Christine is part of the project, we can devote live stream. Yes. Yeah. So, Christine, we are coming up on the end of the interview. We always ask the people that we interview a question about what is it that you want to get better at within the world of open source intelligence in the coming year?
So I would love to say automation, because in some aspects it's very useful, but it seems that everybody is asking for it. And then again, it comes down to what you need to automate. However, I wouldn't say I get very bored in our field. And generally, I don't think we are in an industry that lets us get bored and daydream about the future things we want to discover, because there is always a change. There's always something new coming up, especially when you are engaged with the community, with the OSINT Curious community. One of you always brings up something new that I want to dig into. So this keeps me very happy.
Yeah. I love that there's always new things to research, to understand. And as I think Nico and I have talked about it many times, there's different levels too. I know about this. Well, you know about it, but did you know how things work and how it depend and how it interacts with things? There's always levels that can go deeper. I remember I applied to medical school way long time ago, and one of the interviews I got, the person said, I just have one question. I'm like, yes, one question, then I'm in. And he said, so tell me how, in simple words, how an internal combustion engine works, how a car's engine works. I was like, oh, well, fuel goes in, and he goes, tell me more. I was like, okay, well, let's do, tell me more, tell me more. And across an hour and a half of him just saying, tell me more, I'm describing how octane is covalently bonded with, but that's so true within disciplines, yeah. Is you can be awesome at doing something, but there's always deeper levels that you can
never know enough. You yeah. never know enough.
Yeah. The T-shape is my favorite way of explaining it. You need to have a general knowledge, but then there are different parts that you can get into and specialize in. And this is also where having a network and having an inner circle, so an inner circle of other professionals that work on the field comes in very handy, because you exchange knowledge.
Yep. And the great thing about having that group of people that you can reach out to is that I don't have to be an expert in every single thing. I need to know that there are ways to do deeper geolocation or deeper analyses of something. And then I reach out to you or to Nico to help me learn that, or just to offload that and say, can you help me out with this? That's part of the community that we're building.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of having an interdisciplinary approach. This is the beauty of being open to communication with others. And we cannot be experts at everything and be just as good on every single part.
Yeah, cool.
That's why you are here.
Yeah. Well, and that's a very encouraging message to our listeners that are just getting into the field of open source intelligence, because it is very easy to be overwhelmed by the sheer breadth of topics that you could know, you know, from like you've just mentioned here, you know, you have the psychology, you have the business, you have social media, you have the human intelligence, you have all of these things. And like Nico was saying, we could do hours on any one of those topics. So you don't have to know everything. Yeah. That's my thought.
I think you should stay close to yourself always when you want to learn. Stay close to yourself. What do you want to learn? Not try to know what others know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is also a natural talent in some things that somebody might have, and his brain synapses might just be completely different than yours or mine.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Christina, I want to say thank you for being on this interview, but gosh, we have you for the next year and longer on the project. And I really look forward to having many more of these discussions, because as a psychology major myself in college, I really find these topics very interesting, about human motivation, about what things mean when we find them, and the analysis. So thank you for being on here, and thanks for joining our project.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be with you all, and I'm definitely looking forward for the year ahead.
It's going to be a great one.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you to our listeners and our viewers for watching this. If you have any questions or comments, you can go ahead and hit us up. We are over on the OSINT Curious Discord, which is a channel within the Searchlight Discord server. So on the screen right now, we're showing bit.ly/OSINTCuriousDiscord. Short link to get you over to a place where you can talk with Christina, myself, Nico, and the other members of the OSINT Curious webcast podcast project. And I guess there's only one thing left to say. Christina, thank you so much for being on. Really appreciated your time.
Yeah. And stay open curious, everybody. Yeah.
We should also say stay. All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.